Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. The O Antiphon for today is this: O Key of David and Scepter of the House of Israel, who open and none can shut, who shut and none can open, come and lead to freedom the prisoner who sits in darkness and the shadow of death. You know, we all sit in darkness and the shadow of death by our sin. Really, that's what happens. And God in Christ, the Key of David, opens the door for us. Otherwise, we sit in darkness forever. But he opens the door for us. O Key of David and Scepter of the House of Israel, who open and none can shut, who shut and none can open, come and lead to freedom the prisoner. That's me. That's you, who sits in darkness and the shadow of death. How many people are living in this world today who have no thought of eternal life? No thought about it at all. More and more and more people don't even know. And yet you and I, we're bearers of the good news. We know. We have assented. We have claimed Jesus as our King and Lord. Then share him. Let people see him in you by your kindness, by your mercy, by your forgiveness, by your attentiveness, by your willingness to listen when you have a lot to do. All the little ways in which we can bring the presence, the mercy, the kindness of God. How many people are hopeless in today's world? Because the things we put our hope in are not going to last forever. And when those things crumble, people lose hope very quickly and they fall into despair. You and I, as disciples of Jesus Christ, are supposed to be able to bring them the good news in a way that they can hear it in the circumstances in which they are. Tell them who Jesus is. Pray with them this prayer, O Key of David. Pray all the O Antiphons. Might sound a little strange to their ears, but it's real. And if you cry out that prayer, God does it in your life. O Key of David, Scepter of the House of Israel, who open and none can shut, who shut and none can open, come and lead to freedom the prisoner who sits in darkness and the shadow of death. That's most of the world right now. You are a vessel of light, men and women. You are a vessel of light to those who are in darkness. Don't hide your light. Don't hide it. Let it be seen. Because the source of it is Jesus himself. The first reading is taken from the prophet Isaiah, Chapter 7, verses 10 to 14. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Let it be deep as the netherworld or high as the sky." But Ahaz answered, "I will not ask, I will not tempt the Lord." And then Isaiah said, "Listen, O house of David, is it not enough for you to weary men? Must you weary my God? Therefore the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel." Prophet speaks. It's a prophecy that's carried down through thousands of years. The Lord says it to us again. He came in the flesh to be a sign of his love and his presence, that he would be light in the darkness, that he would be hope for the despairing, that he would be courage for the weak, that he would be wisdom for the dumb. Jesus comes to us, brothers and sisters, and desires to meet us right where we are and to give us himself. Do we accept? It's not enough to say, "Oh, yeah, I know who God is." No. Do I accept him as the Savior of my life? Do I receive him into my mind, my heart, my spirit? Do I receive him? Do I say, "Welcome, Lord, I make room for you"? Not that I throw the clutter in the closet, I get rid of the clutter. that I may welcome you into my home. That's what we need to do this Christmas, to welcome him into the home of our hearts. Let's open our hearts. Let's open our lives to do that. Just ask God. He can change us in a moment. He can redirect us in a split second. But he waits for our willingness. He waits for us to ask him. The gospel is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" It's very honest. Very honest. And the angel said to her and replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, whom we just read about, she also has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." What a gift for Zechariah and Elizabeth that they would bear a son. What a gift, even though they were older. What a gift. John the Baptist, the one who would be the forerunner of Christ. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Mary was so docile to God, so submitted to God, so open to God. And we're so close-fisted and looking in other directions because we're afraid. We don't want anything to disturb the life I've created. Look at what happened to Mary. Look how life was disrupted for her. And look at the billions upon billions of people who found Christ because she said yes. The Christian life is really an adventure. If you haven't found it to be a real adventure yet, you're not living it yet. You will. You listen to this program. I pray you will. God has much for you. Magnificat magazine has given us a short little reflection that I've pondered about Mary and about her yes. And this is what, it's Anne Voskamp who has written a New York Times bestseller. She is not Catholic, a marvelous woman whom God has touched deeply. And this is what she says. Mary, she opens her hands and she nods. And the promises come true in the space of her surrender. The pod of the Most High God lodging within her willing yes. Beneath her heart, in one yielded space, beats the thrumming love of God. There is no need to produce or perform or perfect, simply become a place for God. That is all. Now, here, in this juncture of time and space, God chooses the inconceivable, grace, and conceives himself to deliver grace into the world. Conceive, it's not passive, but an active verb. Its root in Latin means nothing less than to seize, to take hold of. When grace conceives in you, you take hold of God. Listen to that again. When grace conceives in you, you take hold of God. If we've repented of our sin, grace is dwelling in us through baptism, through the sacrament of confirmation. Grace, God sharing himself with us, is dwelling in us. When grace conceives in you, you take hold of God. God is present in your life, not physically, as in Mary's life, but nevertheless, the presence of God is the presence of God in whatever form he comes. And when you say yes to what God wants, Christ is dwelling in you, men and women, and conceives himself to deliver grace into the world. Conceive, it's not passive, but an active verb. Its root in Latin means nothing less than to seize, to take hold of. When grace conceives in you, you take hold of God. God wants to dwell in you, each of you, brothers and sisters, each of you. But he waits for your yes. It's not a passive position. He's waiting for your yes. Lord, live in me, dwell in me, activate the life, the grace of all the sacraments that perhaps have lain dormant in my spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, dwell in me and dwell through me for the sake of the salvation of the world. Offer yourself this Christmas. Anne Voskamp says, when you are a space to receive whatever the will of God is in this moment is as grace, you take hold of God. You must take hold of God when you simply receive him in this moment, taking hold of you, taking hold of your unsure hand, taking hold of your unseen needs, taking hold even of your unknown stress. He wants to take hold of you, to be with you, she writes. He wants to carry you, to be carried by you, to have a relationship with you. Brothers and sisters, we're not just recounting a story of something that happened or celebrating something that happened 2,000 years ago. God desires to dwell in each of us more and more. But at each step of that journey, he looks for our yes. Yes, I surrender myself more deeply to you. I surrender my mind, my heart, my body, my spirit to you for your purpose, for your honor and glory. And as we pray that kind of a prayer, that kind of a daily surrender, because we surrender it and then we try to take it back through all kinds of things. Don't ever be depressed by that. Just keep saying to the Lord, I really want you to take hold of me. I want to live in you and through you. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I want people to find you through me if you grant me that privilege, men and women. That's what God wants to do. Open your heart to him in this season and ask him. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, to obtain my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That is 1-800-282-4789, Faith More Precious Than Gold, or go to our website, renewalministries.net, and then click on Free Booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold.